Well, I'll tell you that this has certainly been a week, and it's not over. But I want to certainly encourage you to just continue to pray with me and pray for our nation. We certainly need it now. 2 weeks ago, I started a message, began a series called "Kingdom Citizens in a Divided World," because the Bible tells us that once we get born again, we belong to a different kingdom called the kingdom of God. And that we're, as representative of his kingdom, we're to represent heaven on earth. And Jeremiah wrote into the children of Israel who was exiled in Jeremiah 29:7. He says, "Seek peace and prosperity for the city to which I've carried you in the exile. Pray to the Lord for it. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper." Jeremiah was writing to the nation of Israel who had been exiled, and he was telling them that they had a responsibility as kingdom, as citizens of God's kingdom, and they were to pray and seek the peace of it. It's likewise as you and I have been called, though we in this world, we're not of this world, but yet we've been called to represent God in this world. A few months ago, God gave me, I believe, a word that was for our nation, a word for our churches. It was out of Hosea chapter 6. And this is what Hosea wrote to a nation that was backslidden. In Hosea 6, 1 and 2, he says, "Come and let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces. Now he will heal us. He has injured us, and now he will bandage our wounds. In just a short time, he will restore us so that we might live in his presence." I believe that that was a word that God impressed on my heart, and I want to minister on today called, I will title this message, "Healing Our Wounds." Because right now, much like ancient Israel of that day that had sinned and backslidden and as a result found themselves experiencing all kinds of judgment. How many of you know 2020 has been one of the most horrendous, tumultuous, unprecedented years? We've had storms, we've had hurricanes, we've had fires, we've had pandemics, we've had rioting, looting, and violence, we've had political unrest, we had racial unrest. I mean, this has been all in 1 year. You know, it's been unbelievable that, and it's not over. How many of you realize that underneath many of the social problems we experience is really a spiritual root? Whether you realize or not, America's problem cannot be solved by who rules, who sits in the White House. America's problem is first of all spiritual. And it can only be turned, resolved, and healed if we would turn to the Lord. As Hosea said, "Come, let us return to the Lord." And I believe that that must happen. The answer to our broken world is still the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. He alone can give us the power to overcome the anger, the hate, the division, the racism in our society. But I said this clearly, and here's where I'm going. Before we can heal the nation, we must first deal with our own issues. I was so grieved because even this morning when I was on my way to church, I have got a text from a pastor who saw my post. I posted that I'm committed to praying for President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, just as I've prayed for every president, because God's words command me. How many agree with that? Amen. Come on. If you disagree with that, you disagree with the Bible. God tells us to honor those in authority, and God tells us to pray for them. The reason why I am grieved because A pastor texted me who read my post, but he reflects the heart of, I think, so many in our nation. Say, it grieves me because I'm reminded again, the problem is not in the White House, the problem is in God's house. That's why God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. This morning's message is going to be a little sobering. I promise you I won't be able to get to the end of it. I'm going to probably just get to point one. But I want to talk to you. I was listening to an interview with Bernice King, the daughter of Martin Luther King Jr. in Atlanta. And she was being interviewed regarding the racial and political divide in our nation. And she so eloquently said that unless that first is repentance, unless we first confess our sin, there's not going to be change in the nation. And so I want to tell you, the beginning of healing our wounds we must own up and confess our sins. I'm reading James chapter 5, verses 16. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of righteous persons has great power and produces powerful results. Notice, if you want to be healed, sometimes what blocks our healing is our unwillingness to confess and deal with our sin. God says, my hand's not short that I can't save. He goes on to say in the book of Isaiah, listen, God's hand is not short. The problem is not with God. But he says, but it's your sins that have separated you between you and your God. He goes on to say, my ears are not deaf that I can't hear. But it's your sins. And I want to tell you, if we do not deal with our sins as a church, because only the church has been called to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And if we want to heal our nation, we got to first heal the divide in our own hearts, in our own lives. Politics is noble. And those who serve it, and again, I want to congratulate Janice Mitchell. She's here. She won her race. Let's thank God for her. Amen. And we appreciate she ran. And we honor any elected officials here. If there's any others, we honor you. We thank God for you. Any other elected officials? Is there anyone else who's? Terry, God bless you. You shy back there. We honor. She won her elected race. Come on. Let's thank God for her as well. Amen. I can't see and I can't make out who's who with masks today, but we honor and we thank God, and I thank all of you for participating in the political process. We've been given the freedom and the right here in America to participate and elect our leaders. But we all know that clearly politics, and though politicians serve a noble cause, politics can be divisive and can be polarizing. And as kingdom citizens, we need to say, how do we heal in the midst of a politically divisive and polarizing time? Listen what Jesus said when he was questioned by Pilate about his kingdom. Jesus answered in John 18:36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it was, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world. I want to tell you that the fact that we got so much fighting is in the church is that we've lost sight that we are of a different kingdom. It's obvious that with all the anger, the division, and the infighting that's going on in the church, that we have lost sight that we are to be a part of a different kingdom. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, he says, listen, don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Listen, the first thing I'm going to share with you, four areas that I believe we as the church need to repent. Is that you, Brother LC? It's so good seeing you. God bless you this morning. Thank you for being here. Come on, let's thank God for him. Amen. Amen. But listen, the first thing that he says is that we need to repent for copying the behavior of the world. You know, we are to be different. If you're here and let me just say, I want to tell you, for us as believers, we've been called. The Bible says we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are God's special treasure. We have been brought out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we should show forth his praises. The world ought to be able to look at us and see what kingdom citizens look like. What does it look like to be a child of the Most High God? What does it look like to serve the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords? And they ought to be able to look at us and see that our behavior is different from the world. But the problem is today, when we look at so much of the church today, is that so much of the church, instead of being different from the world, we've conformed to the world. We look like the world, we fight like the world, we argue like the world, we debate like the world, we hate like the world, and we've been called to be completely different from the world. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to God when we look like the world. I shared 2 weeks ago, one of our missionaries from South Africa, Brother Johan, he's preached here. He's observing this from afar. He wrote me an email and he was grieved. He said, I cannot believe the animosity, the anger among Christian leaders who I know, who I love, who are hating and fighting and debating and anger at one another. And he was grieved from afar as he saw that. He said, we're acting. He said, listen, the whole world has gone mad, and even the church. And so the first thing we need to repent for copying the behavior of the world. We have Christians threatening one another, retaliating against one another, arguing and slandering one another, boasting against one another. The Bible tells us that love is not proud, is not easily angered, is not boastful, is not divisive. Listen to what Jesus said in John 13, 34. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Listen what he says. Your political party will prove to the world you're my disciples. Is that what your Bible says? Your racial affiliation will prove to the world you're my disciples. The church you go to will prove to the world you're my disciples. What did your Bible say? I can't hear you. What did your Bible say? Listen to what he said. It's not just your love. Your love, listen to what he said. Your love for one another will prove to the world you are my disciples. Did y'all hear that? You need to write it down. Listen to me. I want you to know that when we live in a world that's so angry, so divided, it's one thing that's going to communicate that we're different, and it is the love of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Come on. And I want you to know, anything less than that, if we're falling short, and the first thing we need to repent for is that we need to ask God to forgive us what we have not loved like Jesus, where we have copied the behavior of the world, where we look just like the world. We need to secondly repent for allowing politics to usurp God's rightful place in our lives. We have made politics more important than God's kingdom. Sadly, so much of the church has been seduced to put more trust in a politician than in God's word. My hope is not in Donald Trump or Joe Biden. Come on. My hope is in Jesus Christ. Come on. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. How many of you believe that Jesus alone deserves our worship? He alone deserves our praise. He alone deserves our allegiance. He alone deserves it. Come on, give Jesus some praise in this place. The world needs to hear, it's Jesus we serve. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the only one we serve. I serve Jesus. He alone deserves my allegiance. Come on, give Jesus some praise. Let the world know, it's Jesus we serve. It's Jesus we honor. He is the King. There's no other name but the name of Jesus. There's power in the name. There's healing in the name. There's salvation in the name. There's deliverance in the name. Come on, there's no other name under heaven whereby man may be saved but the name of Jesus. Come on, give Jesus a shout. Come on, say Jesus. Come on, Jesus. There's power in that name. There's deliverance in that name. I've pledged my life to serving that name alone. I want you to know, but here you got to understand, but the reality, many of you clapping, but if we be honest, many of us have trusted in government and political parties. Listen what the Bible says in Psalms 146. Do not, say do not. How many of you know what that means in Greek? Y'all some smart people, come on. It means do not. Do not put your trust in princes. In mortal men who cannot save. Did y'all hear that? Come on, let's thank God that He alone can save. We got people calling doomsday, think the world gonna go to the end because a different person became president. The devil is a liar. Jesus is still Lord. He's still ruling. He's still King. Come on, give some praise that we serve a mighty God. Jeremiah 17:5, cursed is the man who trusts in man, who rely on human strength. When you and I put our trust in people, political parties, a political affiliation, a certain candidate, I want you to know the Bible tells us, listen to, we're putting our strength, our energy, our trust in the wrong thing. Jeremiah says, cursed is he who trust in man. I want you to know that, listen, I pray for people. I'm honoring them. We to honor our elected officials. We to pray for them, but they're just mere men. They need God's wisdom. They need God's direction. They need our prayer. Come on. They can't change the heart of people. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can heal a broken world. Only Jesus can heal a broken life. And that's why we need Jesus. We need to lift him up. But hear me. I'm reading an article, and I'm gonna speak to two groups this morning, because God is not a Democrat, He's not a Republican, and He's not even an independent. We often align ourselves with different camps, but Jesus is not in none of your camps. He's Lord over all of our camps. I'm going to read this, and I hope you can hear. This is a letter from a white evangelical named Dr. Michael Brown. I highly respect. He wrote an article this past week, said, an urgent appeal to Christian Trump supporters. I'm going to speak to you about Biden supporters as well, so I'm going to have it balanced, so I want you to understand. But listen to what he said. I'm deeply concerned that many of us, he's speaking to himself, have lost our perspective. I'm deeply concerned that we have in fact put our trust in man rather than in God. I'm deeply concerned that whether we recognize it or not, we have allowed our standards to be corrupted by the constant defense of Trump. The truth be told, we have even corrupted our souls. He could never be more right. As I told you, when I get emails from Christian leaders who say, I cannot pray for somebody because of a political party, we have gotten our souls corrupted. But the problem is not just in the white evangelical community. Because equally, in the black African-American Christian community, we've seen the same trust, worship of, and reliance, and defending of a person whose values are often completely contrary to the Bible. Equally, just as the candidate I just mentioned, who's often stand goes against God's word. We have been seduced, just as he said. We have been deceived and deluded, and we've put our trust. We've gotten caught up to this, to so much so. Listen, I, for the last several months, I've been grieved. Fellow pastors I love, they've talked more about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris than about Jesus Christ. As though they are Savior. So we have a problem that's not one-sided. We have a problem that has caused such divide, and it's because we have allowed politics to usurp the rightful place that only God should have. I'm speaking to men and women in here. Those of you who allow me to be your Facebook friend, some don't allow me. I'm grieved as I've witnessed on both sides the arguing, the animosity, the mean-spiritedness, the divisiveness. These are brothers and sisters in Christ. Much like the Civil War of 100 years ago, where the nation literally divided over the issue of slavery and brother turned against brother and killed one another, we're right now in a different civil war. And unless God heals, that's my granddaughter, she bring me some baby wipes. Y'all get it? Help them, Lord. Hear me. Unless we first repent, there can be no healing in the nation unless there's first healing in our heart. And I think all of us have to say, God, has there been any area? Listen to me. I heard a pastor say that if we've been more in tune to the news than we have into the Word of God, that's a sure sign. We know more about what's happening in politics than what God's Word says. That's a sign that we've allowed the wrong thing to usurp our heart. I'm letting you know. I'm telling you. One night, there's been so much going back and forth. I found myself one time in the middle of the night, rather than opening my Bible to read the Word, I use my iPad. I'm looking at the news, seeing what's anybody beside me find themselves good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. It's all right if I confess my sin. Thirdly, hear me, more pent because we become more passionate. Hear me, more passionate about politics than sharing Jesus with others. Jesus writing to the church at Revelations, hear me. Many of you know, here was a church, I'm talking about, most of us would be proud to join. In Revelation chapter 2, he talks about the church at Ephesus. He said they hate people who call themselves apostles, but are not. They was doing this thing right. They endured here. But he said, but I have this against you. You have lost your first love. The Living Bible says that, but I have this complaint against you. You do not love me or each other as you did at first. I like the way he said. Look at what he said. I have this against you. Put the NLT up there. You do not love me or each other as you loved at first. God measures our love for him by how we love one another. The Bible says if we say we love God and we hate our brother, we are a liar and the truth is not in us. Any man who say he loved God but hate his brother, the Bible says he's lying. And so the real proof of our love for God is how we love one another. And here, Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, I have a complaint against you, like I have today. I see people at political rallies that don't show up for church because they're afraid of COVID-19. Y'all tell me how that makes sense. Oh, come on. They might give me a hate mail. They might say amen. But I'm telling you, we got a generation that, listen to me, I'm talking about, we have lost our passion. If Jesus can't protect you in the church, but he can protect you at a march or protect you at a political rally, I want you to, you're serving the wrong Jesus. But we have a generation that's more passionate about debating, about arguing, about proving their point, about wanting to prove that they're right, than they are about sharing the love of Jesus with people. We live in a world that people are looking for hope. They're looking for answers, and we have the answer. And I want to tell you, if all we got is a political message, my God, we need to repent. When is the last time you felt God's love for a person who was far away from God? Body, the love of Jesus. Your way to share with somebody the love of Jesus. I don't care how you've gone. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how much you've messed up. We have a God who loved you. He has a plan for your life. He don't care whether you're white or black. He don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican. He don't care whether you're Hispanic. He don't care whether you're Asian. We have a God who died for you. He loved you, and he has a plan for your life. When was the last time you invited somebody to hear about the Jesus of the Bible? When was the last time you shared the good news? I believe we've all been guilty of that. And I believe right now, if we'll be honest with us, we're more passionate. It grieves me. I'm just telling you, I watch sometimes social media, sometimes I just got to turn off, because when I go to some of our members' pages and I see all their anger, all what they're passionate about and all they talk about, but I don't see nothing about Jesus. I don't see anything about sharing their testimony. I don't see anything about telling about how the goodness of God. I don't see anything about lifting up Jesus. We've lost sight of it. I want you to tell you, we need to, Jesus said, repent and do the things you did at first. We live in a world, I want you to know, as never before, people are looking for answers. As never before, people are hurting. Our nation has never been more ripe. And I'm going to talk about that in a later message. Our nation has never been more ripe for the good news. I want you to know, we got what the world is looking for. I want you to know, the same Jesus that saved you, the same Jesus that washed you. I don't know. Listen, when you came to Christ, he didn't ask you what political party. He didn't ask you what denomination. He didn't ask you what race. The Bible said, whosoever will, let him come. I want you to know, we got the priest of whosoever will. God is still in love with the world. He still loves people. And we got to say, God, break my heart over the things that break your heart. God, give me a love for people like you, that you have. Not just people like me, but people who are different from me. And lastly, I'm only going to get to point one. Lastly, We got to repent for being so focused on other sins that we don't recognize our own. I replied to when I received that text, I said, if we are so proud that we think tells us that we're to pray for those and go against the word of God, where God clearly tells us that we're to pray for those, who am I to say I'm not praying for somebody just because I disagree with their political party? We have labeled one another. Isn't it amazing? Listen, I'm going to read the words of Jesus as I close. Listen, he say, and why worry about a speck in your friend's eye and you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of the speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? I'm telling you, that's where we at today, y'all. We can't see past the log in our own eye. Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Regardless of what side you're on, I want you to know, we need to ask God to forgive us. We got a young people. Let me just tell you. We were in prayer before service. I'm finished. You can close your Bible. When our members say, Pastor, I don't remember the last time I've seen somebody come to an altar broken over their sin. God, what must I do to be saved? We got a whole young generation, listen to me, who've become so turned off because of what they've seen in the church. But when I say the church, I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about what they see in our own lives. I'm talking about what they see in our own homes. I should burn it, and you've heard me say, if your children don't have a passionate, burning heart for Jesus and don't love the Jesus that you claim to know and serve who saved you from your sin, then we must take a deep look and not look at what they're not doing. We got to look and say, God, what is it in me? If they're not drawn to the Jesus that I say I love, who saved me, who blessed me, who healed me, who delivered me, then I have to take a good look at my own life. And so as I close this morning, I'm appealing to you and I that if we're going to heal our homes, heal our community, and heal our nation, then it has to start in here. And I believe, I know I'm going to speak for myself. I know that there's areas that I've been personally convicted of in my own life. That in the midst of a divided world, God, show me. If you think you're all right and everything, you don't have no problem, then just say a simple prayer that David prayed. Lord, search me. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See, is there any wicked way in me? Is there any offensive way in me? This is how I want to close this service. I want to call for a time of repentance. Repentance means just what Hosea said. It means to turn to God. It means to acknowledge, Lord, you've not been first. It means to acknowledge, Lord, I've left my first love. It means to acknowledge, Lord, I participated in the divisiveness and the anger and the resentment. It means to acknowledge that God, wherever God, where we have allowed anything to usurp God over our lives, that's what repentance means. It means to turn back to God. It means to say, God, forgive me for always seeing the log or the speck in my brother, and I'm blinded by the log in my own eye. I believe that faith without work. And so how I want to do this is, listen, I believe that faith without works is dead. This church is large enough. I don't want anybody to do anything they're uncomfortable. But some of you, if you want to come to an altar and you want to ask God forgiveness, some of you want to kneel where you are, if some of you want to say, God, start with me. I do know this, there can be no healing out there until there's first healing in here. And so I'm going to just lead us in a prayer of repentance and turn to God. If you want to kneel, you want to stand, you want to come to an altar, whatever you want to do, however God deals with you, is your relationship with the Lord. If this message is for you in any way, you want to bow your head, whatever you want to do, God sees the heart. Man looks on the outward, but God sees our heart. However you want to do, listen, whatever you want to do, listen, I want you to know you're welcome to come up, those of you that want to come up, however you want to respond, you can kneel at this altar, you can pray, thank you, whatever, however God want to deal with you, I want you to be able to obey whatever God leads you. You can kneel where you are, you can stand where you are, you can bow your head where you are, you can just say, God, whatever you want. But Lord, we want to see our nation heal. We want to heal our nation's wound. God, the rancor, the anger, the resentment, the mean-spiritedness, the divisiveness that we've all been affected by, it's on television 24/7. It's been hard not to have our minds polluted, corrupted, discouraged by what we've seen. And so, Father, I just come and I'm going to just pray in those areas. Father, first of all, I repent personally and on behalf of our church and behalf of the body of Christ, where we have copied the behavior of the world. Where, Lord, our attitude looks more like the world than like Christ. Father, forgive us for angry, mean-spirited, defensive, divisive attitudes, proud, boastful attitudes, Lord God. Attitudes that, Lord God, have not reflected you. Selfish, self-centered. God, forgive us for every attitude that we have adopted, Lord. And today, Lord, we ask, Lord God, your forgiveness. We repent. We turn. We turn away, Lord God, from the world's way of thinking, the world's attitude towards it. And Lord, we turn to you. Cleanse us. And Lord, do a work in our hearts this morning. Do a work in our hearts, Lord, in this church. Secondly, Lord, we repent where we have allowed politics to usurp God's rightful place, where we put our trust in princes, in presidents, in officials, rather than putting our trust in you. God, forgive us. Forgive us where we have thought that politics can solve our problems. Forgive us, Lord, for you said clearly in Psalm 46, do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men. They cannot save. So God, today, forgive us where we have looked to, Lord God, our government, our politics, our political leaders to solve, to save, to do the thing, Lord, that only you can do. God, do that work in us today. Would you forgive us, Lord? Would you cleanse us? Would you cleanse us, Lord God, where we have allowed ourselves to be corrupted, deluded, deceived in any way, Lord? Thirdly, Lord, I pray that, God, where we've lost our passion, where we've lost our first love, where we don't love you and others like we used to. That when we first saved God, I'm asking, start there, Lord. Give us once again, Lord, a love for what you love. God, give us once again a love for the hurting, a love for the lost, a love, Lord, we're willing to leave the 99 and go after the one. Lord, forgive us where we can't even remember the last time we've invited somebody who don't know Christ to church. Where we can't remember the last time we shared our testimony with somebody who don't know you. God, forgive us. Forgive us for losing our passion. Forgive us, Lord, for losing our love for you. And lastly, Lord, I pray that you would forgive us, Lord, when we focus on the sins and the faults of others and we did not recognize the sin in our own lives. God, I'm asking, Lord, because, God, we have made the church something other than what you intended. Father, I'm praying for the older generation who have misrepresented Christ to the degree that we have a young generation that don't want anything to do with our Jesus. God, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. Forgive us. God, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, God. God, once again, Lord, I pray, Lord, I'm asking your forgiveness on behalf of church leaders throughout our nation, Lord, where we have misrepresented, where we have, Lord God, we've preached out of anger, divisiveness, condemning, Lord, that we've ministered anything other than the grace of God. Forgive us today. Lord, I'm asking that once again, Lord, that as we turn to you, that God, you would heal our heart, that you might heal our land. Only you can do it, Lord. And so, Lord, we ask that you do this. I say this to you, repentance without action is really no repentance. You do it for repent. Jesus said, repent and stop doing what you did and do the things you do it for. Repentance requires obedience. That means some of you, because you've been so divisive over Facebook, Instagram, social media, you need to go apologize to somebody. You need to go in and post, say, for those of you that I allow politics to divide, to alienate, I'm asking your forgiveness. For some of you that have allowed the rancor and the divisionness, listen to me, I can't change what goes on in anybody else's heart, but I can control what goes on in my heart. I have a responsibility. I don't care how they act. I have a responsibility. I've got to love you. I got to forgive you. I got to keep my heart right. And we have that responsibility. Regardless of what others do, we have that responsibility to do what's right in our own heart. And so, Father, I pray, may we have the courage to take action. May we have the courage to love people who are different from us, to love people who have a different race, a different political party, a different belief system. God, that we repent of our isolation, living in our silos. We only fellowship with people like us, who believe like us, who vote like us, who think like us, who look like us. God, forgive us for that, Lord God. You've commanded us to go into all the world. Forgive us, Lord God, for our Christian silos. Well, Lord God, we've only surrounded ourselves with people who just think just like us, vote just like us, look just like us. God, forgive us. Help us to be intentional, building bridges, welcoming people who are different from us. Lord, I'm asking that you do this in my heart, do it in my home, do it in my family, do it in my children. Come on, God, start there. Let the revival we want to see, let it begin in me. God, let the change we want to see, let it begin in me. Come on, let it start in this church. Let it start in this congregation. Let it start in the leadership here, God. Let it start here. Let it start in us, Lord. I pray this, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name